I was looking up some stuff about you. I thought that you were instrumental in starting the Great Raft Race, but that's not quite right.
No, it isn't.
It was already gone on, and I assume that that was Ken Greenwood.
It was Ken Greenwood,
right?
Very much so.
But it was started in 73, but it became a huge event in Tulsa, annual event, and is largely credited with creating the interest that eventually ended up in creating the River Parks.
That's exactly right, the River Parks Authority, right. And Ken Greenwood tells me, and I've interviewed Ken, and you can hear his interview elsewhere on this on Voices of Oklahoma. They just had a meeting one day among several of his people as program directors and all. What do you think? We've got this river out here. What should we do? And somebody says, "Well, I don't know. We could have a raft race." And in that instant, and of course. And Ken Greenwood is a godfather, in my estimation, in many areas in this town, but particularly now in radio, because he was an enormous figure. I mean, he did commentaries. I mean, he was great in the community, and then he got KRMG really started. And then he's the one who embraced, that sounds like fun. Let's try that.
Well, and he had a wonderful vehicle, too, a KRMG.
Right.
Which
probably couldn't have done it on a smaller radio audience.
Probably could not have.
No.
But all the stars were in alignment, and you certainly helped because
you got in
at about the right time was in its upward climb.
It was on its upward, right. But it was an energy that had just taken off. KRMG was a family radio station. So what are families looking to do? They're looking for things for their children. Well, then they got involved in building their own rafts. There was a company eventually that was developed who built rafts. But to this day, people will have great memories. Oh, I took my kids in there. We all got involved. And what a bonding experience for a family to have, that these families built their rafts and they come down the river. And I'll never forget, Ron said, all right, we have the great raft race coming up. He says, why don't you do your show coming down? No, do reports coming down in the afternoon to promote this. So I did it. And there wasn't any river water in the river at all. And so I would go from puddle to puddle, dragging my little raft.
Well, that's part of the game.
And now I'm standing
on
the sand, and now I'm in some water. But we promoted it that way. So, yeah, those were fun days, but was an energy that took off, and I helped, but it was bigger than all of us. It was bigger than the radio station and everybody.
Yeah.
And then that ultimately had to come to an end because of liability and insurance for liability. It got to be enormous, and it took a lot of time from salespeople and everything to
say
put
nothing
it on.
About the fact that the river was incredibly polluted and still is.
It was, but that's what drove. And then it got to be a younger crowd, younger males are drinking and all that kind of thing. So we thought for sure another radio station would take up on it, but when people found out how much work it took and the liability insurance you take out, nobody's done it since.
I know, but it was a great idea at the time, and it must have been really fun for you.
It was, because
to be involved
all with these stars and the governors and everybody would want to be in the race. Well, then you'd interview them along the way, and it was fun to be a part of the radio station and that.
What time period? We were talking about 77.
In 77, so I came
back. The late 70s is what we're talking about, and I assume you were divorced sometime in that period.
I was. So this is something else that KRMG gave me. My wife, Margaret Erling Fretty, and you can ask me about the name business. She was a longtime educator, and in those years she was a teacher at Lee Elementary. She wanted her class to be exposed to a radio station, and she had called several times, and I wasn't always great about returning phone calls, and who is this Margaret? I don't know. So just like Margaret, she just comes stomping up to KRMG, and she stands out in the lobby and says, well, I want to talk to John Erling because I want him to show my class radio. and I was on the air. And so Doris, our receptionist, this was in Liberty Towers, she comes into the studio. She says, John, there's a teacher here. Her name is Margaret from Lee Elementary. And she's a really nice-looking lady. If I were you, I would talk to her. And so send her in.
Yeah, right.
And so that's how we got introduced to her. Yeah. If it hadn't been for KRMG, I wouldn't have known that. Mm-hmm. And she and I now have been married for 33 years.
She's a famous lobbyist in Oklahoma City.
She is.
And
indeed.
Tulsa, for that
indeed.
Matter.
She was principal for many years, and she was a teacher for many years, and she was a principal for several years. And when John Thompson was here, she was in his office as an administrator, and then left that, and then now she's a lobbyist today, right?
And lobbyist sometimes carries a negative connotation, but in Margaret's case, it should not, really, because what she does is represent people and corporations, and not only in their relationships with the state government, but also about how they ought to improve their position in the community and that kind of thing. And she has a great reputation for being a very accomplished woman. You should be proud of that.
I am proud of that. Mark Twain once said, lobbyists are the invisible government.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of truth to that.
So,
if you're an educator, you'd want Margaret there. I mean, she has many fine client lists. Yes, we were married then in 81.
That was the John Erling age. I mean, in the early 80s, late 80s. I mean, you came in. Here was the great raft race. Here are the Tulsa Mountains that are still around.
Right.
And then all of these things started happening to you, like Oral Roberts and Lee Gideon doing Modell Phipps and Terry Young, who hung up on the mayor. I mean, what do you...
Those are all great stories, and Oral Roberts...
Let's start with Oral.
He became the butt of my story. I respected Oral Roberts for his faith and what he stood for, because his very basic message I believed in. But it was his style of raising money. And so then the time comes when he wants to build a city of faith, 70 stories high and 777 beds. And I'll never forget, many of my ideas have come from either running or driving around. And I'll never forget the day.
We should mention that you've been a runner for years and years.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah, right.
I was driving, and the thought came to me, well, why don't you build the Kennel of Care? I have 777 kennels in it. I have a dog house and a cat house and praying paws out in front. And so I presented that on the air. And it produced kind of the same controversy as the Tulsa Mountains, because people laughed and they just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And then others, how dare you criticize Oral? Mm-hmm. I says, I'm not criticizing him. I'm just having fun. It's a parody.
Sure.
It's what it is. I'm just having fun with his style of raising money. And so I have a beautiful rendering of an architect he brought in one day, and it shows the tall 777 kennels, the cat house and the dog house, and the praying paws, and the live stream of water out in front. I still have it here. And so that took off, and that was a lot of fun. Then one day, Oral says he would be either taken from this earth or he would die. Now, everybody thought he was going to die, and I have, of all the interviews I've done for Voices of Oklahoma, every time you do an interview, you will always think of questions you should have asked. I don't care what interview you do, there'll always be a question you should have asked. I didn't really get Oral in the interview I did with him, and can be heard here on voicesofoklahoma.com. I didn't really grill him hard enough. Did he think he was going to be transfigured from Earth, or was he going to die? I kind of let him pass on that, and I should have asked that question tougher. But I didn't. I wish I would have. As I talked to him about it, I said, the media always felt that you had to die. He says, yes, they did, and all this, and they took me wrong. I don't know if he thought he was going to be taken from Earth alive or not. But anyway, his life on Earth was going to end if he didn't raise how many millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So the thought came to me that my dog, Louie, would be taken from me if I didn't raise, say, 20,000 pounds of cat and dog food. So I put that on the air. And I said, so tomorrow morning, I'm going to be out here at 61st and Yale, La Fortune Park, and would you please come by with cat and dog food? Would you please do that? Because otherwise, my dog, Louie, is going to die. And I had no idea what was going to happen. I get out there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm telling you, the cars started streaming in, and they were backed up on Yale, and they just came in with cat food and dog food, and I stayed out there for several mornings with that kind of response. They knew the fun I was having, and then I said, this cat and dog food is going to go to the SPCA. It's going to go to a worthy cause. Oh, they had fun. Mm-hmm. They called. They drove up in their cars laughing. Here's this. Here's from our dog Fido and all that kind of thing. It was truly fun.
Yeah, you hit a gold mine that everyone could appreciate and participate in.
I did.
Have a good time.
I did. It was, and for the oral supporters, it was at his expense. They couldn't. Many of them couldn't have fun with this, but the majority of my audience did.
I interviewed Oral three times before he died for television, and I think he appreciated that kind of thing. I really do. He was a man of God, and I sincerely believed. I didn't have any problem with what he believed. I had similar problems with, you know, his methods sometimes, but he was sincere, and he could take a joke, and I'm sure that that's how he ended up with you.
Well,
otherwise he would never ever talk to you for the rest of his life.
Well, I have a story on that.
Yeah.
So then one day Oral sends out these vials of water, healing water, from the stream of water that was outside the City of Faith.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So we started thinking about that, and we thought we'd have the pH factor of a vial of water tested. Well, it wasn't water that came out of the stream of water. It would have been Tulsa water. Well, it didn't match it. Well, we did some more testing, and somebody within that testing business, he wanted to be really anonymous because he knew he'd get in trouble, said, I think if you'll test the water in Dallas, it'll be the same factor.
Because that's where they were putting the vials together.
And there was a production company down there, a packaging company, that put these vials together. So I go on the air and I said, folks, that water is not coming from the stream of the City of Faith. It's coming from Dallas, Texas. Well, it angered Richard Roberts so much that he wanted to come up to the radio station. And Ken Trickey, who was the coach then of the team, of the basketball team, he came with him. It was so beautiful. The Tulsa World wrote, Richard Roberts will be in studio with John Erling on the front page of the newspaper proclaiming that he's going to deny that this has happened. Well, I thought to myself, you're coming up here in person because you think you're going to intimidate me in person. It's easier on the phone to be intimidating or for me to intimidate. You're going to face me down. And I thought, I'm not going to let you do that to me. I'm going to stand by my story. I held up that vial to him, and I said, this does not match. You say it comes out of that water. And he argued, and he hemmed and hawed till about 10 minutes to 8. It would have been normal for him to be at 8 o'clock, stay there late.
Right.
He said, I'm really busy right now. And he got up, and he walked out.
Left. Yeah.
Later on, people within the organization said, John, you don't know what you caused out here. Because you caught them in a lie. So that story that came along. Then my boss at the radio station calls me in during the 8 o'clock news, and he says, I don't want you talking about this anymore. I don't want you talking about it. I said, how can I ignore after at 8:10? How can I ignore this? What just happened? He says, I'm telling you, I don't want you talking. So either he was wimpy, he'd gotten a call or something. To me, the cat was out of the bag. I was only on till 9. You had to talk about it. People were calling like crazy. They wanted to react to it.
Sure.
He said, don't talk about it. And I listened to him. And I can't remember what I ended up talking about or whatever. I suppose I said, well, it's unfortunate that he had to leave and all this kind of thing. And I probably went on to another topic is what I did. Anyway, so that was that experience. About Oral, good friend of mine in town who used to work there, he was a recruiter for their school, Chuck Ramsey, was close to Oral. And he says, John, he says, I think I can get you Oral Roberts. I'll try to get him. And I said, you know what? I kind of beat up on him on the air. I did at his expense. I said, I believed in what his message was, but I just had fun with his style. He said, well, I'll talk to his secretary. And time went on. I thought I'd ever heard. My wife and I were traveling with another couple. We were in Phoenix, and I got a phone call. Yes, is this John Erling? Yes. Just a minute for Oral Roberts. Hello, John. This is Oral Roberts. Tell me again what you're doing. I said, I'm recording interviews of Oklahomans. This is for education, and it'll be on a website, and students, people will be able to listen to this for generations to come. He says, I think that's a good idea. Here's my secretary, and we'll work it out. So I go out there to his condominium in California, and you can hear this on our website. And I was really nervous about that. That morning I was so tight. I come out there and Chuck Ramsey came with me. And Oral was sitting in a big blue chair. And by that time he was in ill health. And he was sitting with a blanket around him and so forth. But he was very congenial. And I set up and we make cozy talk and we start talking. And we get to the part about the media. And he says to me, you know, John, I never... You know, when the media attacked me, he says, I kind of lay low. He says, I never fought back. Did I, John? And I knew then. He knew what I'd been doing. But he overlooked it all. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll do this interview. And I was obviously very grateful to him for doing that. But he knew that this John Erling had been beating up in my ministry. So, but
how long ago was it?
He died 6 months after I interviewed him. So I'd have to go back and listen to that.
But it's been within the past 10 years or 5 years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes, yes. That's because I've only been doing voices for 5 years. So,
yeah. So it'd be sometime around 2000.
Now, see, I started in 2009, so it would have been 2009, it had been 10 yeah. or 11 in there that he died. And, so it was a good ending, and I'll never forget, I saw him walking down the hallway in his condominium with his walker, and that's the last time I ever saw Oral Roberts. But Oral didn't like the media.
Did it ever occur to you that you would have liked to have interviewed him when you were on KRMG? Did you ever ask him to come on?
No. I was put off by Oral. When I first came to town, Oral was speaking that first Sunday I was in town at Boston Avenue Methodist Church. It was a time of his life he wanted to be more accepted in the nation, and Pentecosts weren't, and he wanted to be a Methodist. And so he was speaking at Boston Avenue Methodist Church. And I went to the service. And afterward, he was saying hello to everybody in the congregation passing out. And I came by and I shook my hand. I said, my name is John Erling, and I'm new. I'm just going to start tomorrow, whenever, on KRMG. And, you know, in my brash way, say, you know, I want you to listen or something. Just to let them know that
sure.
I was in town. He did not say a word to me. Didn't say anything. And then it bothered me later on because I realized the call letters KRMG were very big to him because his broadcast was on KRMG for all those years. But for some reason, he was not going to say anything like, well, good to have you in town. Hope you have a good career. Sure. That radio station's a good station. He could have said things like that, but he didn't do it. But it ended up that I was granted that interview, so I have a fond memory of him right now,
right.
Of course.
Yeah.